Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Mallory Mercer, Director of Advocacy and Community Engagement for the STAR Coalition. On this podcast series, we're going to shed light on some of the most stigmatized and misunderstood areas of the mental health industry. Our hope is that through this podcast, we can bring transparency and light to a system that is so heavily scrutinized. We aim to share vital information about a multitude of mental health topics while spreading the message that research equals hope. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the STAR Coalition podcast. I'm your host, Mallory Mercer, Director of Advocacy and Community Engagement. On today's episode, we're sitting down with Chris Bullard, Executive Director of Sound Mind. Chris is a former touring musician and has used his own lived experiences to create an atmosphere that builds community and empathy, helps others with mental health problems, and inspires action for change. Welcome, Chris. We're so glad to have you on today's episode.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, Chris, tell us why you started Sound Mind and what is Sound Mind for our listeners who maybe don't know.
Yeah, so I started Sound Mind. So our formal name is Sound Mind Live. If you're trying to Google it, sometimes that's easier. But I founded it really based off my own personal experience. Like you mentioned, I'm a musician. So what we do is our mission is to end the stigma around mental health through the power of music. But really, that also came from a lot of my personal experience being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So I was diagnosed in my mid-20s and went through my own journey of being afraid to kind of admit that to myself, reach out for support, and importantly, knowing where to go for support and finding community. And music was one of those things for me that was a huge tool in terms of being able to connect with others, build community, and kind of go along that healing journey. So I started a music support program for the National Alliance on Mental Illness in New York City at that chapter, just kind of a small group bringing people together to talk about mental health and play music and kind of share a good time together. And then around the same time, this report came out in the music industry that 73% of musicians lived with symptoms of mental illness. And it was kind of this light bulb moment that went off of, wow, how impactful it could be if these artists who have these experiences like myself could share their story and use their platform. And when I was a touring musician, I played with Willie Nelson kind of as his backing band a couple times. And he had been part of starting Farm Aid, which is this movement for the plight of family farmers using music as a vehicle. And nothing like that was really existing at the moment for mental health. And so kind of the vision for Sound Mind was to build this movement around opening up community and open dialogue around mental health through the power of music, bringing together a coalition of artists with lived experience, as well as all of the amazing organizations that already exist who are providing direct services and resources and support groups.
That's incredible. So of all your outlets of individuals that you opened up to when you found out about your diagnosis, did you find that the music industry was most accepting?
That's a good question. I mean, honestly, for me, I think my closest friends, and I was lucky that my closest friends and family were very accepting. And I think, you know, for a lot of people now, that is often the case. For me, you know, when that happened, I had kind of moved on from the music portion of my career. I had moved to New York and I was working more in an office setting. And that was probably actually the last place I opened up about mental health. I think, you know, myself as well, you know, I felt a lot of fear in terms of judgment, what that could mean in terms of my job, people thinking, you know, can I do my job well? And then as I went along my own journey, it became actually really empowering to tell others on my team, my manager, that I lived with bipolar disorder and that I was living with it, you know, in recovery in a very healthy way, managing the symptoms, able to actually do everything that the job demanded and live with this, and kind of that being a really empowering factor. So to answer your question, I think like the work aspect was actually probably the hardest to open up around. And I found, you know, working so closely with the music community now that the music community is very, it's kind of bifurcated in that front. Artists are very open about it more and more, especially the ones that we work with. The music industry is kind of in this field of change because it's an industry that's been rife with substance use and people working late hours and demanding a lot from artists as well as everyone else in the industry. But I think especially because of the pandemic, there's kind of been this waking up moment where people are trying to take care of each other a lot more.
Absolutely. And I love the creativity and the openness, but absolutely there are some negative factors that come along with the music industry. Can you tell me what it was like? I know you kind of worked with the musicians before, but what was that like putting yourself out there and asking these musicians to come and help you with your cause?
Yeah, I mean, it was extremely humbling at the beginning. I mean, brought together a few people in the music and mental health space, and we just started looking up, you know, who are the artists who are speaking about this, you know, either on stage or in interviews. And, you know, it kind of felt like a big ask, like, hey, come play a show, but don't just perform, talk about your lived experience with, you know, whatever it is, depression, substance use, anxiety, bipolar disorder. And I think it was also humbling just to see the reaction from artists. We did our first show in New York City at a venue called Rough Trade. It was like a 250 capacity venue, and just the artists coming up after saying how impactful it was for them, kind of even just being on stage, being able to share their story in this environment. It ended up being very, very rewarding, I think, for me, just to see how we were not only impacting the audience, but also the artists who had these experiences.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that evolution from where you started to where Sound Mind Live is now.
Yeah. So we started out really focusing on the live event space. So we do this annual music festival for mental health, which will be this year at Central Park Summer Stage on May 21st. And that, you know, really was kind of the initial vision, as I mentioned, kind of using Farm Aid as an example, growing this music festival for mental health. About, you know, 18 months into our organization, maybe 2 years, the pandemic happened. And then, you know, doing live events was not a possibility. And it had always been in my mind, and I think in our team's mind, about doing other forms of like digital media and interviews with artists. But that was more part of the longer term vision. And we really had to pivot really quickly. And I think one of the amazing things that came out of the pandemic was, one, we took our events all to doing live streams, but we also opened up these other aspects of what we were doing. So we now, events is kind of only one of three pillars of what we're doing. The second is digital programming. So we started our own podcast with Consequence Media, who's a music media organization. It's called Going There with Dr. Mike, where we have a clinical psychologist sit down with artists for 45 minutes to an hour and just have a really open discussion. And we've had artists from like Alessia Cara to Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, kind of like a cross genre, just talk about their own experience in depth. And that's been really powerful to kind of go deeper through digital media. And then we started a video series with Billboard Magazine and the National Alliance on Mental Illness called Unmasked, aptly named, about kind of this process similar to taking off a mask of, you know, when you're kind of moving through that path out of facing stigma, how empowering it can be to kind of talk about your own experience and seek support. And then so that's kind of the digital pillar of what we do. And then the third aspect, now that artists are touring again, we started a program called Road to Recovery, where we're actually out on the road with artists, partnering with grassroots community mental health organizations around the country. So a lot of the local NAMI chapters, some other organizations like the Black Mental Health Alliance, providing on the ground resources to people at shows as artists are touring. So it's been amazing as the way the organization has grown, has just being able to provide resources and information and education through different vehicles beyond just the events.
That's incredible. Congratulations on all of that growth. I know that you've touched millions of lives. And it just started from one idea. So I think that's so cool and empowering for all of our listeners. Tell me about your funding and how you're able to do all of these events and all of this support and education.
Yeah, it's the funding is, you know, as a nonprofit, it's an ongoing journey, and it's multifaceted for us. So we have an amazing board as well as group of individual donors who help support our work every year. For our events work primarily, it's a lot of sponsorships. We've had across the board from folks like Alkermes and Johnson & Johnson all the way to like HBO and Yahoo and folks more on the media side. So it's been amazing to see different types of corporate mission aligned organizations come in and sponsor our events. And then a lot of the, we've also had foundation support, which has helped us to launch new programs. So Alkermes, for example, has something called the Inspiration Grant, which helped us launch our Road to Recovery initiative. All of our digital programming was supported by a foundation called the Lovell Foundation. The Sezose Foundation supported our event, our music festival. So, you know, we've been, I think, fortunate to be able to have this multifaceted funding model. But, you know, I think for us, it's, you know, as our organization grows and resourcing to be able to support these growing programs grows, we're continually evolving in all those different aspects in terms of who are the other people supporting this work. And I think one of the great things to see in the mental health space is there's a lot of collaboration between different types of partners to make these things happen, which is great.
Absolutely. So if people are not in your area, how can they get involved and help support your mission? And what gaps do you see that you need more support in?
Yeah, one of the things that we're really trying, I think the event space that we are doing, growing that one, you know, this annual music festival for mental health, we'd love for it to grow into kind of more of a South by Southwest week long thing with panels throughout the week and a larger festival component. So we're looking for really like a coalition of partners to come on that journey with us. Another exciting thing that we're about to pilot later this year is, you know, a lot of the people who we work with are youth. And we're really trying to activate college students around the country. So with our touring initiative, we have kind of a college street team that we're building out, and we're about to, we're starting to put together an event with our first college campus at USC out in California. And we want to use that as a pilot to expand that to other universities, working with college students to put on a mental health fair and concert at their own university. And so it's another place where like we're looking for folks who are excited about this mission and using music as a vehicle to kind of have a youth movement around mental health.
Yeah. So when you get people involved, particularly youth, tell me about what they learn at your festival or through your panels. How do you enable them to reach the point of healthier life?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, the way we're impacting youth is along a few different lines. One thing that's really important for us is focusing on how we're actually shifting perceptions around mental health and behavior change. So we've done surveys around our programs and found that 90% of youth feel more comfortable and prepared reaching out for mental health support. And a lot of that is through, you know, one artist telling their own story and just being open about what this journey is like. And then also working collaboratively with mental health organizations like NAMI, who have peer-to-peer support programs where people can understand that these exist. You know, when I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, I didn't even know who NAMI was and that they had peer-to-peer support and that was a thing. So we're really trying to elevate that to youth who might not otherwise know it exists by bringing that to them at concerts and through the artists that they follow. Another aspect that's been more recent for us is how youth can actually take action from an advocacy component. So many might be aware that there's a new three-digit 988 number that's being launched in July. And beyond that three-digit number, there's a whole realm of, you know, crisis support that's going to have to come out in local communities around the country. So we're activating youth to take action around that. Encourage local legislator to support mental health crisis infrastructure. So beyond taking action on their own mental health, also taking action on kind of the systemic change level as well. And, you know, I think what we've seen, you know, from more of a, you know, sometimes the narrative perspective is helpful. Like one of the Road to Recovery programs that we did in Nashville, Tennessee, we had a girl come up to the mental health service. We have kind of a table at the concert, and a girl came up who had been diagnosed with schizophrenia recently and was saying, you know, she didn't know if she was going to reach out for support, and she didn't feel like she was accepting her diagnosis, but it was somehow a sign that we were there at this concert. You know, she otherwise probably wouldn't have sought support, and we got her looped in with a support group. And, you know, it's those kind of things that we're really trying to affect change on, is someone who might not otherwise be seeking support to be able to kind of just take that first step to reach out.
Absolutely. And I think something as simple as being brave enough to go to the festival shows that you're willing to be more open about your diagnosis or any problems that you're facing. And I think it's so amazing because it allows people to go to a space to creatively enjoy, but also to find themselves a little bit more. So what you're doing is wonderful, Chris, and we are so thankful for your mission and for your time today. Before we go, I just want everyone to know that we will have tickets linked in our call notes today, but is there anything else that you would like us to know about Sound Mind Live and your organization, Chris?
Yeah, I would just encourage folks to come out to our big music festival this May 21st in New York City. If you're not live, it's going to be streamed in partnership with TikTok. So you can follow it on TikTok too. And there's, in addition to the main event on May 21st, we're going to have panels in New York City around different topics like mental health in communities of color and mental health in the music industry. So, and those are actually completely free. So we really encourage people to come out and support and just be part of the community.
Thank you. And I encourage all of you to look up Sound Mind Live. I'll have that linked as well. And try to get involved in their efforts. It's so amazing. And there's space for everyone from adolescents to adults. So thank you so much, Chris. If any of our listeners have any questions about today's episode, you can email me at mallory@thestar.org with two R's. Subject line, ask Chris, and we will get those questions to him. Thank you for listening and join us next time.